Our text tonight is John 1, and we are going to read together the verses 29 through 42. We are in the season of Epiphany, so the church year begins in Advent and Christmas, and between Advent and Lent is the season of Epiphany, where on January 6th it begins with the appearing to the Magi, and then if you read the texts from Sunday to Sunday, you have different appearances of Jesus that stir different kinds of faith in those who follow him. Today's text is an Epiphany text, as Jesus is revealed in new ways. He's revealed as a revealer, and I'd encourage you to keep your Bibles open because for me this week there was a surprise in this text that I had never seen before. So I want to encourage us before we read together, let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in gratitude for your word, and for all of those who have handed it down, not only through the centuries, not only in copying it, not only in giving their lives for it, but also we are grateful this night for those who have taught us how to read it and who have modeled that in their own lives and lifestyle. Thank you for the habits that have formed us and for the people who have shown us those habits. For parents and grandparents, for pastors, for teachers, for Sunday school leaders, for volunteers and vacation Bible school people, all of those who have taught us a respect and appreciation and an awe for your word. We are grateful. So tonight, we pray as we open it, as we read it, as we speak it and live it, that you would plant the seed of your word deep in us and grow us. Remind us that all of us are on the way. So give us guides and guardrails as we seek to be faithful. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Following the baptism of Jesus, we hear these words. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Catch that. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Sometimes people will ask me, "So how is it that you decide on a sermon or on a text?" In fact, one of our elders asked me that question this past Monday over coffee. And the answer that I gave then and that I would give now is that I often will use the assigned gospel reading for the particular Sunday, and then I will try and let that live in me for a week or so. And sometimes while studying it or reflecting on it or digging into it, sometimes something will hit me or I'll discover something and that will become the propellant or the fuel for a sermon. And that's what happened this week. I discovered something. At the beginning and ending of John's gospel, John has Jesus ask the question, "So who or what are you looking for?" And it happens in this text, and it happens in chapter 20, around verses 15 and 16 as well. And each time the text follows that with calling Jesus rabbi or rabboni or teacher, and John gives us that explanation. Jesus is the teacher. I never saw that at the beginning and the end of the gospel before. I think that question is probably at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus, to be asked or to ask yourself, "So what is it that I'm looking for?" Or, "Who am I looking for? What is it that I want? What am I passionate about? What am I seeking? What do I desire?" And the Jesus of the Gospels seems like he is continuing to ask and press the question of all of us as he invites every disciple to discover him on our own terms. I think this is why in the gospel, especially in the gospel of Mark, he often says to people, "Don't tell anyone who I am." Well, why does he do that? I think he often does that because he wants us to discover for ourselves who he is in our own life and in our own experience, not just someone else's, but on our terms, not for the miracles, not for the free health care, but on our own terms. When you and I make a discovery, you and I tend to be all in on something. Think about when you discover a new restaurant or a new game. You can't help but be excited and enthusiastic and begin to talk about your experience. You've discovered it for yourself. It's a eureka moment. That's a good Greek word for discovery. And notice that no one ever says eureka. We say eureka. I found something. I've come to something that I never saw before. And in the book of John, whenever disciples have that kind of experience, it's clear that something has been revealed to us. It's not something we came to on our own. We thought we did. But it's something that God does by God's power of opening. And the people who have that discovery experience are never, ever the same. So engage this a little bit with me in the text. John is a guy who was working out who he was and what he was called to do. He felt called to be in the wilderness. He felt called to be baptizing. Whatever he was doing was drawing people's attention. It was enough that it was drawing fire from Israel's pastors and theologians who were asking, Who are you and what do you think you are doing? And the first question that he probably got was, so are you the Messiah? To which he said, no. Well, are you Elijah? Because Elijah is supposed to appear before the end of time. Nope. Are you a prophet? Nope. Well, what gives? Who are you and what are you about? And John clearly spoke from a center. I am the voice in the wilderness who is calling people to get ready. That's who I am. As much as you tell people to wash their hands before they eat, I'm telling them to wash up because the Messiah is coming. I'm not sure when or where or what he will look like, but my call is about getting people ready. And you heard it in the text tonight twice. He did not know who Jesus was. He didn't know when he saw him. It was only after God revealed that to him that John discovered for himself. And that's why he says twice, behold the Lamb of God, because he discovered something. So my question for us is this. Do you know what God's calling is for you? Do you know what the experiences are that you have had, your history, your hardship, your gifts, your pain? All of that clumped together is what God uses for his unique calling for each one of us. And he's asking you and me to enter into a process where we try to faithfully let him use all of that for his purposes. It's not about a single outcome, but it's about a process. John may not have known why he was there, but he knew that he needed to be in the wilderness. He answered that call to do what he sensed God was leading him to do. And in this gospel, when Jesus comes to be baptized, John had no clue who he was. Because there was nothing special about Jesus. He looked like an ordinary guy. No signs, no wonders, no credentials. But John's eureka moment was not his own discovery, but something outside him that came in, and the Spirit confirmed what John saw with his own eyes so that John could bear witness to his own eureka moment. Because the truth of the matter was, something outside of John found him, and that's all he can talk about. John is the first conversion in the Gospel of John. So he won't stop. Here he is. Here he is because every good Jew knew that the Messiah would need to be revealed. He would not be obvious. And you can imagine with that kind of belief system that there would be all kinds of fake news. John says, no, this one is the one. And John is clear, I would not know had he not been revealed. So some of us have grown up in a faith tradition where we had all of the right answers, or that's what we were told. And we were taught how to win every argument with Baptists and Catholics and anyone else. I don't hear that here tonight. What I hear is a man who is acknowledging what he did not know and who he had a eureka moment with and where that eureka moment is still speaking. And remember, if you read in Matthew 11 and in Luke 7, John still questioned from prison, Jesus, are you really the one? He wondered and he doubted. Even though in this moment he had amazing clarity, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, tell us, are you the one? And when John called him out, pointed him out, two of his followers jumped ship and started following this new rabbi. And Jesus stops him in his tracks and says, what do you want? What are you looking for? So maybe that's our own in tonight. What do you want? And what are you looking for? Maybe that's the closest way into our heart. What is the thing that you are hungry for and yearning for? What is it that you're designing your whole life around? Because in the gospel, that's the first question that comes to the newly found disciples. What do you want? What do you need? Who are you looking for? And the invitation that Jesus offers is, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and discover on your own terms what it means to be my disciple. Because they don't know any more than we know. We know that he's the one, but we don't know what that means for our life. And it doesn't matter if you're 14 or if you're 94, all of us are on this quest to see, what does it mean that he is Lord and Lamb of God in my life? And it's a daily work of discipleship. So tonight and tomorrow, maybe that's the question to be asking ourselves. So what is it that I want? What do I need? What have I been looking for? And the invitation in this gospel is, if Jesus is the answer to that question, come and see what that means. Come and see what that looks like. Come and see, you who may have a past where Jesus may give you a new name and a new identity and say, come, follow me. Come and see and discover for yourself, and you may have a eureka moment, even when you thought you had all of the answers and everything in your life was settled. This Jesus may turn that upside down and make us more aware of what we've really been pursuing, and may invite us to come and see something else. That is the journey of every disciple in the book of John. But to get there, we need to keep going with him and see where he leads. Brothers and sisters, what are you looking for? What do you need? Come and see and hear his invitation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Give us courage, O God, to keep walking with your Son. Give us courage to walk with eyes wide open, that we may discover something new, or discover something new about the life of discipleship. Forgive us when we have been closed off, when we have put a period where you intend for us to have a comma, and keep the possibilities in us open, because we follow a living Savior who lives and moves and breathes and calls and summons even when we don't fully understand. So thank you for John the Baptizer, who went into the wilderness even though he didn't know why. Thank you for the questions of John the Baptizer, who even later, when stress and prison was surrounding him, asked again, are you the one? So give us courage in our doubts and in our questions, but keep us hungry and yearning for you and for your path, that we might walk faithfully with you and keep growing. Hear us as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.